This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Good morning, I'm Aaron Mee, and you're listening to the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. Today, joining me here on the Community Matters program is Jody from the Shoreman Center Grief Counseling here in Warren. Now, the Shoreman Center is also comprised of Hospice of Warren County as well, right?
Well, the Shoreman Center is part of Hospice. Hospice is really the umbrella,
okay,
and Shoreman comes underneath of that umbrella. Hospices are required to provide bereavement services to our clients. And so that's what the Shoreman Center does. But we go a step further because we provide services to the community at large. The very same services that hospice families get. And the best part is that it's free of charge for everyone.
That is really cool. And, you know, I have to say, one of the things that I really enjoy about what you do with, you know, the Hospice of Warren County and the Shoreman Center here is there are a variety of different programs that you guys do throughout the year that take place that are in workshop format, which I really enjoy because it's a close-knit community where you're able to get to know the other people that you're working with a little bit better. And really, I think that it helps everyone, you know, kind of opening up and being able to share their stories. And then also getting to work together in workshop form is fun.
Yep, it's very helpful. A lot of times, folks who are grieving help each other almost more than a counselor can help because common experiences are shared and people really feel that they're not alone. And that's significant.
That, as we are talking about that, you guys actually have two really amazing things that are going to be coming up that I'd like to highlight. One of these things is the annual hospice memorial service,
right,
which I think is something that's really important for people here in our community. And also, I'd like to mention that you guys have a series of workshops that are coming up throughout November, which I think would be another really beneficial thing for people here in our community to look at, because I can think of just off the top of my head a few people that could benefit just taking a look and considering, you know, some of these different programs.
Yeah, November is a big month for us because it's Hospice and Palliative Care Month, Grief Awareness Month. So we kind of have a bunch of activities planned for that month specifically. The service, the annual memorial service, is well attended every year. This year it's at Faith Fellowship Church, which is right across from our library in town. Easy to find, parking right beside the church, so it's easy for folks to get in and out. That service is held at a different area church every year. It is non-denominational. So whatever faith you are, or if you are not a religious individual whatsoever, this service is still for you.
Really nice.
It's comfortable.
That's cool that you are able to, you know, have a service there that can encompass all the different belief systems that people have and make people feel comfortable in these situations. Now, with that being said, what I wanted to talk about then is, when is this service going to be taking place this year?
It's on November 5th, always the first Sunday of November, at 3 p.m. at Faith Fellowship Church.
Okay, so now with that being said, one thing that I wanted to ask in relation to that is, what is typically involved with that service? How long does it go for?
Right.
And what is taking place?
Well, it's not a long service. I'm going to say all in maybe a half hour, 40 minutes. There's lovely music that's provided from our hospice friends who happen to be musicians. We always ask several area clergy folks to take part, read some prayers, do our message of hope. This year, Doug Hearn will be giving our message of hope. Probably the most moving thing is that we read a roll of names that we call the Roll of the Honored Dead, and it's all folks who submit names of their loved ones. And we read those out loud, and we remember them.
That's a really amazing thing to do. And, you know, one thing that I just was thinking about while you mentioned that is it's awesome that you do that, because when you're bringing everyone together for a memorial service like this, it really gives a great opportunity for the rest of the community to remember some of these other people that we've lost over the last, you know, year or so. And
Really,
it's pretty important that, you know, people have the opportunity to be remembered in these other circumstances and opportunities as well.
Yes, we actually invite the community at large not only to attend the service, but if folks are not able to attend, we invite them to call our hospice office with the names of their loved ones that they would like to have read, and we will do that. So you don't actually need to attend, although when you do and you hear the name of your loved one, it's pretty special.
Yeah, no, you bring a really good point there. And really what I wanted to kind of mention with that is that gives a good opportunity for, you know, people that are family of loved ones and really everyone to gather and be able to learn and just talk about those people and think about those people, just remember them a little bit. And I think that that's something that's really important. And I'm glad that you're able to do that with this memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
So now one thing that I also wanted to discuss that is going to be taking place a little bit later in the month would be some of your grief counseling workshops, which I think are just really amazing. It's really a good opportunity. So with that being said, I understand that the topic this time is called Going Solo. Can you go through some of the details on it?
Well, that's the name of the workshop. Every year, look for advertising called Going Solo. The idea of these workshops is to provide kind of everyday living skills and fun things to do for people who find themselves newly single as a result of the death of a loved one. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a recent death. It could be years old. If you feel like these workshops are for you, please call and let us know so that we can sign you up. Every Tuesday in November, there are four Tuesdays in November, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we're going to hold a different workshop. They're all at First Lutheran. Again, easy parking, easy access. And if you'd like me to, I can go through the list of what we have planned and the dates and a little description of each thing.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if people are interested, please call me. I'm working at the Shoreman Center at 814-723-8060. We need to have registration by October 30th because the workshops start quickly after. So the first one is the 7th of November. It's legal documents. We have attorney Annie Sharp leading that session, and it's all about what documents you need to get your financial affairs in order basically at the end of life. And it's not just a will. It would be power of attorney, things like living will, your life insurance, things of that nature. And that's always a good one. We've had that for a couple years. Lots of give and take, lots of questions, opportunity for questions.
Yeah.
And Annie is very knowledgeable about that. So,
see, and I can imagine that particular class would be something that would be of a lot of value to a lot of people, really, because really, you know, financial planning and doing that paperwork and stuff is something that a lot of people, myself included, find to be a really daunting task to even think about. So really, to have someone there that can kind of help you walk through the process of making it a little easier to kind of go through, that makes it a lot better. I mean, really, just having someone that can help walk you through it and get it started makes all the difference.
That's true. So that's a really good one. The second one is the 14th. That one is more of a fun one. It's called Feelings in Color, Painting with Pudge. Pudge is our Jessica Robeson. She's a trained artist. And she usually does pour painting, if anybody's familiar with that. It's very easy, but really fun. And Jessica also talks about her personal grief experiences, and we have a little bit of give and take about other, you know, the participants' grief experiences, too. And that one, you get to take away at least one kind of neat painting. Then it'll remind you of your experience there.
See, and that is something that I think would be a wonderful opportunity for people because, you know, one thing that I personally noticed that I have trouble with that my partner in life tends to help me with at my house is changing out the decor every once in a while. And you know, it's only when they come over and say, hey, you know, you should really change things up. You've got, the garland up from last Christmas still. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. But, I mean, really, having, you know, an opportunity to make a new painting and to have something that you can do, I think that that's really wonderful. And maybe that would inspire people to have a different hobby that they can look into later on.
Yes, it's a creative outlet. You know, it's an alternative. A lot of people think of, grief counseling, talk therapy. This is something different. And again, you'll come away with something to remind you of your loved one. So it's kind of a win-win.
Absolutely. So now what would be coming up on the 21st?
That's a new one this year. It's called Don't Get Scammed. And we are having folks from the Warren County Sheriff's Department, as well as someone from Northwest Bank, talking about getting scammed. I think we've all had experiences, either personally or knowing someone. You know, we might have had a close call that we almost got sucked into a scam. I know my parents have gotten scammed before, and it is not a pleasant experience. So this is meant to open folks' eyes. Be aware of what a scam might look like, questions you might want to ask, and what to do if you're the object of one of these, thieves.
That's really an amazing opportunity that people can have with this class, then, mm-hmm. because really, especially, that's one thing that I was thinking about, especially the other day, actually, that scams have become a lot more intricate mm-hmm. and a lot more harder to notice and really a lot more complex than they ever used to be, mm-hmm. which makes it a lot harder. And one of the things that I think of as a perfect example of that would be the Amazon track your package scam, mm. which, I mean, I can see that happening to people all the time, and it's happened to me.
Yep.
I mean, it's important to be able to stay up to date with that stuff.
It really is.
That's really an amazing thing mm-hmm. to be able to offer.
We're excited about that one because we think it's super important to know what happened. And the reason that we came up with that topic is that one of our grief counselors actually was caught in a scam, lost a few thousand dollars.
Oh, no.
Will not get it back.
Oh, no.
So so we have personal experience with that. And it kind of really brought to light how important that topic is for everybody. Even if you think, you're tech savvy and you know what to look for, these things have gotten very believable.
And they've gotten significantly better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And that's one of the things that I really had been thinking about. And it's interesting that you guys are doing this class because, that's something where I would love to sign up and go to that, and I think that a lot of people can find and understand value in that.
Right,
so,
right.
Now, with that being said, I understand that you guys have one more class.
The last class is Cooking for One. It's on the 28th. It's after Thanksgiving. And I think that Tony Williams, who is our hospice dietitian as well as a grief counselor, and Phyllis Wright, who was an extension leader, I think they might be planning something about Thanksgiving leftovers. I'm not sure 100%, but what I can tell you is that folks who attend will learn not only about nutrition, but the most fun is that you get to make and take a meal home. So
that's awesome.
For one. And that's the whole idea. A lot of people aren't used to cooking for only one person when they've lost their life partner. Mm-hmm. So they don't know what to do with, a stew for 10 or, anything else for a large group or even two. So one can be challenging, and we'll address that in our last workshop.
That's really amazing. And really, I think that is very important to try to understand, especially as everything starts to get more expensive and really as we're trying to make our dollars stretch as far as we can at the store, mm-hmm. being able to go through some of these ideas and things that you guys have for this might end up saving people a little bit of money, too.
Right. One of the things, one of the many things that Phyllis Wright will talk about is ways to store your food, if you want to buy, obviously for more than one person, what do you do with all that? Mm-hmm. And so she talks about freezing and vacuum sealing and things of that nature. So it's not just about cooking. It's about, like you said, getting the most for your dollar.
Wow, that's really important. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like throughout this entire month, there are really just some amazing opportunities to learn. And I think that this is going to be a great opportunity for people that really have lost someone in the last few years that it was someone that they, depended on for different things or, really. What I am kind of wondering in relation to this is when you talk about these workshops, do you mm-hmm. encourage people to attend all of them?
Actually, whatever ones are of interest, you can attend 1, 2, 3, or all 4. Not necessary to sign up for every single one. If one sounds really interesting, we encourage you to come. But we do ask that you pre-register because especially the painting class and the cooking class, we're capping at only 12 people. So if you're interested in either of those two, please do call and let us know.
Absolutely. And really, that's a good point to make because it helps to make sure that people have proper supplies for what's going to be needed.
Exactly.
People don't buy too many if there's not too much need. And really, I think that that's an important thing. So one thing that I wanted to ask is if people want to get more information about some of the other programs available from either Hospice of Warren County or the Shoreman mm-hmm. Center, what's the best way they can find you?
Please call at 814-723-8060. You can email me at jbevavino@howc.com. Please look on our website, and we also have a Facebook page. So if you just Google Hospice of Warren County, it should all pop up for you.
Awesome. So one more time, what I wanted to remind people is the annual hospice memorial service
yes.
is going to be taking place November 5th this year.
Mm-hmm. That's when it is at Faith Fellowship Church right across from our library.
Awesome. Well, Jody, thank you for taking some time today to be able to talk to us. I'm really glad that we could be able to highlight these things.
Me
and
too.
Really, it's just an amazing thing that you guys are doing here in this community. And by the way, I wanted to mention, if you have anything else that comes up throughout the rest of the year, feel mm-hmm. free to let me know, and I'd be more than happy to, have another conversation.
Wonderful. Like this is a great way to get the word out. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Community Matters on 92
Good
Gold.
Morning, I'm Aaron Mee. You're listening to the greatest hits here on 92 Gold. And today, joining me here on 92 Gold is Cassie Damcott, the Administrative Assistant of the City of Warren, Pennsylvania. And first of all, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Can you give us some of the details on how Warren works with the Fair Housing Program and how you guys work together with it?
The City of Warren receives HUD funding through DCED, which as a requirement, we must make every effort to avoid discrimination and provide equal opportunities in the administration of and implementation of programs and services that are federally funded. Warren, the City of Warren and the County of Warren, honestly, have a lot of rental properties, have a lot of housing properties such as the towers and senior housing. And the owners of those properties have to make sure that they give their renters every equal opportunity to rent without discriminating based on race, gender, religious creed, ancestry, age, national origin, handicap, or disability. And in addition to that, the Fair Housing Act of Pennsylvania also includes the use of guide support animals because of blindness, deafness, or physical handicap of the user. And they cannot discriminate based upon having a guide animal or a support animal that has been registered as a service animal. In addition to the Fair Housing Act through Pennsylvania, the City of Warren also affirmatively furthers fair and equal housing opportunities for individuals and groups protected by Title VIII of the Civil Rights Act, and that is a federal act as well. So it's not just the state of Pennsylvania who requires us to offer fair housing opportunities, but the federal government also requires us as well.
One thing that I see that people seem to appreciate here in the city are the older houses that are here and how beautiful the yards are upkept. And one thing that I wanted to talk about in relation to that is blighted properties and things like that. So when we talk about fair housing and keeping this community really nice looking and well upkept and things like that. What are some of the concerns that people have with blighted housing, and how do you address those?
The city has a blighted property review committee. Any properties that people have concerns about, and they should contact the codes department at the city. They are the ones that handle the complaints, investigate the complaints for those types of complaints, and then they further on to not just property maintenance, but maybe there's a lack of utilities in the home. There's several pieces that they have to meet in order to be qualified as blight, but we do have a committee that handles the blighted properties in the city. And Randy Rossi, actually the director of the codes and zoning department, is also our fair housing officer. So any concerns or complaints with a fair housing discrimination can be asked of him, and he can give you the correct tools to then further file your complaint with the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. You can call them. There's a phone number, 717-787-4410. You can visit one of the three regional offices. The closest is in Pittsburgh. The other two are located further out in the state. One is in Philly, for example. And you could also complete a questionnaire, which is located on their website, to begin the process of filing a complaint. There's also, you can dual file a complaint or an allegation of discrimination for fair housing with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, also known as HUD for short, Office of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity. And complaints filed through them can be done in several ways, actually more ways than the Pennsylvania one, through an online portal, by email, by regular mail, or by phone call. The City of Warren's website has a link specifically dedicated to fair housing. It has just some general basic information of the Federal Fair Housing Act, as well as the Pennsylvania Human Relations Act. And there are links to both of those to further read deeper into them, and like I said, it links right to the complaint forms for both of them or the phone numbers for both of them. And we also every year as a city file a resolution that we are affirmatively furthering fair and equal opportunity in housing for individuals and groups protected. It should be noted that as a landlord or a property manager, if someone were to file a complaint against you, that it is illegal to retaliate against that person for filing the complaint, and you should never be afraid to file a complaint if you feel that you've been allegedly discriminated against or unfairly denied the opportunity to rent from somewhere or to have an opportunity to buy a home. It also includes like mortgage lenders or brokers and realtors. So before, during, or after an allegation has been made, it's illegal to retaliate against that person.
So, Cassie, thank you for taking some time today to be able to enlighten us on how the Fair Housing Act works here in Warren County and also in the city of Warren.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.